So, it would be really helpful to me if you could turn to that first reading, 1 Chronicles 29. And also, as you came into church this morning, inside your newsletter was a booklet about giving. And we're going to be thinking about that this morning. It'd be helpful to have that somewhere to hand. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we want to hear your word to us. We pray that you would come by your Spirit, speak your living word into our lives and change them for your eternal purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. The Smith family were driving home from church one Sunday, discussing the service. "The music this morning was terrible," said Mr. Smith. "Out of tune, terrible singing." "The church was freezing," said Mrs. Smith. "I can't feel my toes anymore." "Sunday school was no fun at all," said their younger son. "We only had one old book to look at, and no one had planned any games." Suddenly, the little girl of the family piped up from the back seat. "You've got to admit, though," she said, "it's a pretty good show for only 50p. Now, I hope you will agree with me that the Smith family were unlikely to have been returning from a St. Nick's morning service, even with our sound issues this morning. And I'm not for a minute trying to suggest that people at St. Nick's put 50p a week into the collection box at the back and consider that that's it for their giving. But the little girl's comment does make the point that when it comes to giving to a church, there is a sense in which what you give is what you get. In other words, the ministry of the church is almost entirely funded by the giving of the congregation. I'm not sure people always realize this. Certainly when I was a little boy and I did put 50p in the collection bag that got handed round the church, my mum would give it to me and the bag would go round and I'd put it in. I don't think I made any connection between my 50p and what the church was able to do. I suppose I thought that my 50p just went to God somehow. Why he needed it, I wasn't sure. I had plenty of ideas for how I could use it. But it went to God, and someone else paid for the running of the church. But of course, there is no someone else. There's no big fund somewhere in government, in the Church of England, or anywhere else that pays for St. Nick's Church. We are fortunate enough here at St. Nick's. There is one local trust that makes an annual grant of about £25,000. It's a big grant for the upkeep of our building. And we have some income from our hall and church lettings. But aside from that, the ministry of this church is funded almost entirely by the giving of the congregation, by my giving and by your giving. And if I can put it as starkly as possible, our income, the income of St. Nick's, is dependent on your incomes. Our income is dependent on your incomes. That's a big challenge to us. It's a challenge every year as we set our budgets and we plan our ministry, and it's a particular challenge this year. And if you turn to the back of your giving leaflet, and you'll see there's a section on the back that says the challenge we face. And you'll see at the bottom of the first paragraph in that section that we have a deficit of £60,000 in 2019. Some of that comes from some cost increases, but most of it, 48,000, is because of changes in circumstances of a small number of significant givers. Either their circumstances have changed, their incomes have changed, or they've moved away from Newbury and St Nick's. James Lancaster, our treasurer, will be here next week saying a little bit more about this. As far as we can see, there's nothing concerning about this, but their incomes have changed, or they've moved, and so our income has changed, and we face a challenge. Well, to our passage and the people of Israel in the reading this morning in 1 Chronicles, they were facing a big challenge. They were going to build a temple, an enormously expensive thing to do. And in our reading, we find King David supervising the fundraising for it. And the money was going to come from God's people. David gives a speech. The leaders and the people respond. And then David prays, and he praises God for his generosity. And as we look at it, I want to say three things about giving, whether that's giving towards the building of a temple or the ministry of a church. Three things. Firstly, the significance of the task. Have a look at verse 1 of chapter 29. King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen," in other words, the one God had chosen to build the temple, "is young and inexperienced." I can't imagine there's a dad around who doesn't think that about their son, whatever age their son is. "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God." The task is great. Why great? I suppose of great importance, the building of this temple, of great difficulty, and of great potential. Have a temple of God. A great task, because this palatial structure is not for men and women, but for the Lord God. David begins by giving people a vision of the significance of the task ahead of them if they want to build a temple. This would be a great verse to use at the beginning of a church building project. A grand reordering of St. Nick's Church. A glazed entrance going out into towards the high street with a coffee shop and a sort of welcome area. Or imagine the church was burnt down and we needed to rebuild it. Whatever it was, we'd unveil the plans, and you can imagine at the top of them, the task is great, because this palatial structure is not for men and women, but for the Lord God. Great verse for a building project. But it's also a very relevant verse for us today when we're thinking about the day-to-day ministry of our church, because day after day at St. Nick's, we are involved in building. In fact, page 3 of our giving booklet tells us how much it costs per day. It costs £1,211 a day, this work of building. Building the temple of God, because we are the temple of God. Paul says in the New Testament, "You yourselves are the temple of God." Peter says, "You are like living stones being built together into a temple, a spiritual house." We are building here at St. Nick's. Living stone on top of living stone, building the temple of God. And just like David, we've laid out a vision for what we want our building to look like. We've said that what we want what we do to be visible, to be noticed, to make a difference to our town, just like the temple. Only we're not talking about a physical building. We want to be good news. To be good news in Newbury, to bring good news to Newbury. That's our mission, that's our vision. And just a small but a significant example of that is the therapy garden at West Sparkshire Hospital, which is designed and maintained by a team of St Nick's volunteers. I'm sure you've heard about it if you've been around here for a while. It came from our initiative when we launched our vision back in 2012. And I don't know if you knew, but that garden, if you've never visited it, please do when you're next to the hospital. It recently won a national award. It won the Green Space Award in the Sustainable Health and Care Awards in Birmingham. Andy Moore, sitting over there, sent me a copy of the article in the New Brunswick News that you might have seen a few months ago. It recognizes the hard work and the dedication of the team from St. Nicholas Church. There in the New Brunswick News. Good news in Newbury. And that's not the whole of our vision, but it's a part. To be good news in Newbury, to be seen to be good news in Newbury, so that we might bring good news to Newbury. If you were here a few weeks ago, you will have heard Steve Wallach talk about the ministry of CAP, Christians Against Poverty, and our plans to set up a CAP debt centre here at St Nick's, and in partnership with the Bridge Church. The plan is to launch that over the summer. We're on target. Listen out for more details. If you know anything about the work of Christians Against Poverty, it's an inspiring ministry. It will make a difference to our town and to us. If you came to our church prayer meeting a few weeks ago, you will have heard Ellen and Amber talk about the plans for Daybreak, our mums and toddlers ministry. And in their phrase, their plans to refurbish that ministry so that it's more a part of our ministry and the more effective means of outreach. If you were here two Tuesday evenings ago, and some of you were, you will have seen 120 people gathered in the hall from Newbury, from St. Nick's, from the local area, some way beyond, for an evening on Christian leadership. We've become a great venue for these events because of our wonderful facilities. As we do that, we serve the wider Church of God. If you were here last Tuesday morning, you will have seen over 30 women gathered here in this church for a Bible study course. Lots of young mums, all a bit bleary-eyed. They're doing a Bible overview course, and they were gathered here in the church. They had to be moved to the church because over in the hall, the Soroptimists, who are the SAS of women's organizations, if you know anything about them, they were terrifying, but they were organizing the Pancake Day celebrations for the Newbury Pancake Day celebrations, to which many came. And you might have seen my photo in the Newbury Weekly News. Our team won a prize, the St. Nick's team. If you came here on Wednesday, you would see the St. Nicholas Fellowship, which has grown wonderfully over the last few years and is such a blessing to some of the older and more vulnerable people in our community. Next week, I have a meeting with Marcia Wadham, and on our agenda is the teaching program for our third holiday club this summer. Such an exciting means of outreach to our town and such an unexpected means of blessing to our church community. I could go on. We're far from perfect at St. Nick's, I'm well aware. There's still so much to do, so much untapped potential, but we're building. We're building a temple of living stones, and we want to be visible. Good news in Newbury, and the task is great, because this palatial structure is for the Lord God. Now, David in Jerusalem, in our passage, he lists enormous quantities of gold and silver and other materials that he has personally given for the building. He's given quite a lot, turquoise and gold and silver and so on. And then he says, verse 5, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? And it's an appeal for money. But the question is not who will consecrate their money, but who will consecrate themselves. In the giving of their money, the Israelites were committing themselves to this temple and the work of God. Giving to your church is not paying for what you get. Giving to your church is more personal. It is an act of consecration to God and of committing yourself to the task of building the temple of God in this place. When we have Giving Sundays, once a year, if you're a newcomer here, then don't worry, we don't talk about this too often, but once a year we have one or two Sundays where we talk about this and we ask people when we do that to review their commitment. And not just their financial commitment, but it's an opportunity to renew your personal commitment as you give. This is my temple that I'm helping build. And if I can be a little specific just for a moment, and as I say this, I want to remind you, if you don't know, that I don't know who gives what at St. Nick's. That's known by the stewardship secretary and the financial controller. No one else. But if I can be a little specific, we're asking everyone to review their giving, and please do that. We are facing a big challenge. But we're hoping that with such a big challenge, 32,000, that we want to increase our congregational giving this year, that a significant part of this can be met by new givers. When you join a church, there's a natural process that you follow with different stages along the way. To begin with, you ask, does this church meet my needs? And that's an important question. Does this work for me and my family? So you come along, and then after a bit, you decide to commit. And then you ask, not does this church meet my needs, but how can I share in the needs of the church? And then a bit further along, you move from I commit to I belong. This church is my church. These people are my church family. It's not perfect. I still feel new here. In a church like St. Nick's, it can take a long time to feel you really belong. But somewhere along this process of I'm coming along to I commit to I belong, you start to give. And it becomes personal. You join in with this great building project that we're involved in here at St. Nick's, a temple built of living stones. And the task is great because this palatial structure is not for men and women, but for the Lord God. That's the first thing and the longest thing, the significance of the task. Secondly, the source of our gifts. After the people have given, David praises God. He prays this wonderful prayer in verses 10 onwards. He acknowledges that God is the source of everything. Yours, O Lord, verse 11, is the greatness and the power, glory and majesty. Everything is yours. The kingdom too, verse 12, wealth and honor there from you. Strength and power there in your hands. And then verse 14. This wonderful, famous verse, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Giving is not like a tipping God. You know when you go to a hotel, and the doorman helps you with your luggage, and then stands around waiting, gives a little cough, and you think, oh, right, I need to tip you. And so you rummage around in your pockets for some cash. Actually, I've never been to a hotel like that. But I've seen it in the films, so it must happen. Sometimes our giving is like tipping God. And at the end of the service, or on Giving Sundays once a year, there is God coughing slightly. And we think, oh, yes. I need to give you something, and then you'll go away, at least in this area of my life. And you get to decide, shall I be generous or not this time? Tipping is all about the generosity of me. How generous shall I be this time? But giving is all about the generosity of God. He's the one who has been generous, not us. Everything we have is from him. He is the source of our gifts, our life, our family, our particular strengths, the abilities that enable us to earn and to work, all that is good. And on top of all this, he has given us his Son to die for us, his Spirit to fill us. Every day a gift from him, every pound, it's all his. And we find it so hard to think this way. I don't know if you've ever bought a bag of sweets for a very young child. Imagine it with me. You're in the newsagents or in the sweet aisle at Wilko. It's a good aisle there. You've got to move through it pretty quickly if you've got young children. But you decide to offer to buy them some sweets. And instantly, the naughtiest little monster turns into a charming angel. Until that is, the deal is done. And you hand over the bag of sweets and suddenly grubby little fingers grip tightly to a bag that's so hard, so huge they can barely get their hands around it. And what was 2 seconds ago yours is now very definitely theirs. And if you have the audacity to ask for one sweet, then there's all sorts of huffing and puffing and their sticky little fingers rummage around in the bag to find the mangiest sweet possible. Half a cola bottle has been dropped on the floor and then is reluctantly placed in your hands. It's so hard to give. We are little children. Everything comes from you, says David, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Some of us have a lot to give. We're able to give more. In fact, we're able to give proportionally more. Some of us have a little, we are able to give less. But whatever we give, we are only giving back to God what's come from him. The significance of the task, the source of our gifts, and finally the secret of giving. And I don't mean here the secret as in a sort of magic principle that suddenly makes giving easy. There isn't that magic principle, I'm afraid. Rather, what we don't realize about giving, the hidden secret about giving, is that giving can be a joy. And that's what the giving is throughout this passage. Verse 9, the people rejoice. David rejoices. David in his prayer is full of joy. Verse 17, I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. There's no grudging handing over of the cash here. Presumably David could have set a tax for this temple building. Plenty of rulers have done exactly that to finance great building programs, but he doesn't. Because he wants the giving to be from the heart. And that's what makes it so wonderful when it comes. We often talk in churches about tithing. About giving away 10% of your income. And it's a good principle. But it's not a rule. And it's certainly not a God tax. We're not to think I must give my tithe and feel God or the church treasurer twisting our arm. The New Testament says specifically, we're not to give reluctantly, under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. As we finish, I often ask myself on a Sunday, how joyful is our worship? I want to be part of a joyful church. And we all know sometimes it comes together and sometimes it just doesn't quite. And there's lots of obvious and visible things we can do to enable that. The choir and the band rehearse so that they can lead us and we can join in confidently. There's the planning of the services and the choosing of the songs. There's the work of those at the back on the PA and the projection. There's the spiritual work of praying that God's Spirit would inspire us and fill us in our worship. And all those things are good and important, and they come together to bring joyful worship. But there's something else which we can never plan and we won't see. And that is you and me sitting down at home with a giving form and filling it out, renewing our commitment, starting to give, changing what we do give and doing so joyfully and from the heart. And that will, in ways that we can never pinpoint or trace, that will trickle down to when we come together on a Sunday to joyfully worship God together. Because when we do that, we will have grasped the significance of the task that we're involved in here, building the temple of God. And we will have personally committed ourselves to this great task. And we will have acknowledged that God is the source of all our gifts. And we'll have opened up our hands and given back to Him. Let's pray together. Lord God, in some ways, in this one of the most secret areas of our lives, we pray for the work of your grace, not simply for the good of this church, but for the good of ourselves, that you would release us in joyful Christian giving. Work your word by your Spirit in us. We pray. Amen.